Right, welcome back to the Feel Weird podcast. We have not had a guest for ages, have we, Liam?
No, not for this year either. Not for this year.
But for episode 21, we're near the end of series two. We had to bring out a big one. And I would like you to roll out the red carpet for that.
There we go.
Guest,
today, Liam. We're joined by the grind general, the hustle heavyweight, the melody marksman, the rhythm ruler, the mic maestro, the Afrofusion shooter, from gaming playlist to courtside anthem. He's got hits that slam like dunks at random. A sound so sick called the doctors. He's a genre blender, vibe sender, the O2 rhythm ruler, the Book of Nine author, certified mover, dropping dose after dose, no fakes and ladders. This paperback, Headman climbs, it matters. Like Osha, he's certified to blow the scene, cold as Mr. Freeze, yet sharp and keen. A titan in the game, it's time to go up. From Bando to Arenas, he's heating it up.
Breathe, please.
So tell me, what do you want? The culture's on lock, bringing the NRG, it's time to talk. Omo 9K,
everyone. Oh my gosh.
Come on.
ChatGBT could never.
No.
ChatGBT.
Can you put for context of that?
You're red,
because I'm assuming you would have picked it up. I had to go and one take.
That's all my songs. That's my discography.
This is literally every song he's done on his thingy.
And he ended it with the first ever song I dropped.
Yeah.
Round of applause. Yeah. Oh,
that was heavy to
do. Damn, what a way to roll it out.
Thank you.
And that's been the Feel Weird podcast. Thanks for listening.
We've tuned in.
Yeah, we'll roll
out. There we go. We don't mess about with. We do big intros in the show. If you're coming on, you're someone's grandma. You're getting all your accolades put across you for your life. So you're
fantastic stuff.
I literally did that at 2 a.m. like a week ago.
Well, it had to be done because we've wanted him on for a very long time.
We've wanted him on for a while now. So if that description,
come on for a long time.
If that description didn't give you everything you wanted to know, we've got a lot to cover today.
Yeah.
To start off, as per always, we go to Splinter for our question of the week. Splinter.
Get us warmed up.
Let's have a look.
Question of the week is, what is the best hero versus villain matchup in history?
Already Sam's going to have a Bobbins answer for this because he discounts all anime.
Oh, fuck off, and your 12-year-old cartoons.
Shut your mouth. Who's the best? The best.
Yeah, so we're talking cartoons, books, any hero kind of rivalry.
So yeah,
I've got one already, but I'm telling, I could have 20, and I could write a thesis on why. But I'm gonna go for the best.
Yeah,
Vader and Luke is an easy one to see at the jump.
Did you even come at me, and then he's picked Vader and Luke?
Yeah. No, but only because I thought I can't do
every 55-year-old.
I'll do a deep cut that only you would know, and it would be dry for you, and you wouldn't get it, and it would be no point. But I had to go.
We're trying to attract comic book fans, and you're just gonna go with Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. My mum knows that one.
Yeah, but that's... But wait, the reason
but why is
mom,
it the greatest one, though?
Because I think, apart from being before... We're talking about something in the late 70s now.
It's certainly the most iconic.
Certainly the most... Okay, no, 1981 is the last film when they're together. So we're talking 50 years ago.
I'd argue there's one more iconic, though, in terms of influence.
Thanos and Tony?
Nah, Goku and Frieza.
But this is what I'm saying. Okay. He doesn't know who Goku and Frieza are.
Well, fuck me,
even
then that's
he
fine.
He will know that, though.
He would know who Goku is,
just stood on a Naruto rug, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Different I feel like Goku and Frieza, simply because if you look across so
visually
many...
Visually as well.
Not just even visually, but in walks of life, like athletes, musicians, creatives, they all reference early Dragon Ball Z as
an
inspiration.
That's so
I think it's a great one.
So I feel like if we're talking influence...
I think that's a great one.
Luke and Vader.
It's hard to get
either
the,
or. I don't think either.
I mean,
go on, Sam. What have you got? I'll take you. Got some.
I'm your father. It's like, come on. I guess iconic wise. So if you've both gone for iconic, I'm gonna just go for my favorite, and it's whenever Doctor Doom and Thanos have ever matched up in the comics.
Yeah, that's a sharp one.
Considering Thanos is Mr. Big and Nasty in Marvel, Doctor Doom just fucking rips him out every time.
He does. Pulls his spine out.
Yeah,
picture.
That's exactly what I was thinking. He pulls his spine out. Yeah,
no, it's a good one.
Forgive me for mentioning this.
Splinter, what have you got?
I guess mine, like, I think you could go through so many different routes of the question like this. You could do David versus Goliath. Yeah. Is one like
that's a good. That's a, you're throwing it way back.
Okay,
biblical. Way back.
Like big influence, and I think like with it having best hero to villain matchup, I guess it's having something that's quite balanced as well. So it's like a good fight. So I guess you could do like, I mean, Harry and Voldemort.
That's a good one.
Iconic.
I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
I guess if I was to really pin it down to my favorite, it'd probably be Joker and the Batman. I think they are the most.
Oh, that's so
I should have said that as well.
That's
a brilliant one. That's a brilliant one.
I think that one's frustrating. Though.
Yeah, well, because of course,
the
dynamic between them, though,
they're like a toxic couple.
Yeah, exactly. They secretly love each other.
Toxic couple. Like you're gonna fight, you're gonna break up, and you're gonna get back together.
It's like the simplest and the most complex matchup. Those two, they've both got no powers, no special abilities, and yet they're both, it's such a complex relationship that's gotta be number
one. You know what,
only it's been covered for years. I mean, the first cartoon probably came out in like the 80s or even earlier, actually,
earlier than that.
Probably,
in comics before that, so that would probably be mine.
It's probably the most consistent fight across mediums. Mm. We're talking like movies, animated, games as well. I feel like it's the fight we've probably seen the most.
But it's above
Goku, two Frieza, Jokers have won the Oscar as well.
They have?
Well, two.
There's got to be a start with award-winning like actors for those hero and villains.
Because it comes with a lot when you're playing that character. There's an expectation. Mm. You're playing a character who's over 75 years old now as well.
And there's so many different variations.
There's so many variations, but the core of it, people know within 2 seconds, he's nailed it or he's done a Bobbins job.
That's why I thought loads of respect for Joaquin Phoenix when he did it in just the Joker film.
Yeah.
Because for Heath Ledger to win the Oscar as the Joker and everyone to go, no one can touch that role again.
Yeah.
And then he walks in and wins the Oscar with such an incredible performance in itself.
And then the second time to start singing.
Oh my!
Have you seen it?
Of course not.
I ain't seen it either.
I'm glad we're on the same.
I need to watch it. I need to watch it. But at the same time, I'm not paying for it. I'm waiting so I can do a little stream on wherever it comes out on because I'm
Liz
not.
Wanted to watch it so many times. I'm sorry, I just can't. I can't watch like the greatest Joker Showman ripoff.
No,
can't do it.
Why do you think they did that? Because
when you watch the trailer, I honestly thought, oh okay, I like how it's like it's maybe it's like his demented dreams, like what's in his head. But then from all I've ever heard, it's just gone completely, like loads of it is that, you know what I mean? I thought there were going to be like just moments where it's what's in his head, but there's apparently like loads of musical numbers in it. I'm like, maybe they just overdid that. I don't know, but.
Anything more than one musical number was enough.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's too much.
Absolutely.
You've already
done
it wrong.
Is that not because we're guys though?
Not at all.
I mean, this is the thing. I'm not a fan of musicals.
That's what I'm saying.
La La Land's one of my favourite films, and I've said that bare times on this thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just not the place for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're going out to do a musical.
Demented murderer.
Where's he fitting in with that?
Yeah, considering the difference between like the first film and the second film, have they just gone completely in the wrong direction? Arguably, yes. Because the first one, he was so like... Because this is the thing, Heath Ledger was such a psychopath, but I thought Joaquin Phoenix's version was so clever because it was like... I walked out of that film feeling uncomfortable. I felt like I was in the mind of a serial killer because he wasn't very scary bloke, but then he'd just be like, you know, twitching and or schizo and shit.
Yeah,
and be,
no, true.
And he was understandable.
Yes.
In terms of his circumstances.
Could see where it...
Yeah. Whereas Heath Ledger's was definitely just more like destruction for destruction.
Yeah, just chaos.
Some it was the first just want to watch the world
villain,
burn.
Villain or Joker that you like had sympathy for and that you could feel a connection to, which is what sold it so
totally
hard. Every other Joker,
I
you
absolutely
like
agree.
Creep and that kind of thing.
You could see the method behind the madness in every single sense of it.
It just felt like a Gaga push, didn't it? Like, she's back to singing. Let's do like 5-10 songs.
Quote
like
that said, Gaga push. That was brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like an album or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There you go.
She's touched it. You know, the worst rated Simpsons episode ever is her episode. Not a joke. You type in.
Really?
You've got the Simpsons. How many Simpsons episodes
are there? I was just going to say.
You've got 38 seasons and hers is the dead last. And I watched it not too long ago.
That's saying something like that.
Not a great episode because it's just a big advert for her the entire time. Tell you, lowest rated episode. How many episodes are there?
For someone that in pop culture, everybody seems to think she's dead nice. Like,
781.
So nearly 1,000 episodes.
And
hers is the worst.
Dead last.
I'm saying something like that.
Simpsons has been on that long and it's still shorter than One Piece. That's crazy.
It is. It's a very good point. Because One Piece up to like 1,100 now. Which is disgusting.
I'm not a One Piece fan.
No, so I'm not. I know many people tried to convince me, but I'm not. I can't jump on that train.
How long's it been going?
25 years.
Too long.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
He's so right as well. Look at
there you go, look. See, I'm not just throwing
Sorry,
it out.
Sorry, what?
Lisa,
when am I going to put this?
Lisa Goes Gaga is considered one of the worst episode rates. Some say it's the lowest rated episode
That's
in
great
history.
Trivia from you to know that out of 781 Thank episodes, that it's the Gaga.
What I know is what I know, Splinter, and what I know is Simpsons.
Would you say this is why this man has a podcast.
Yeah. Would you say you've watched every episode of The Simpsons?
I'm close.
Absolutely.
I'm
the
close.
Moment, yeah. He's on a run.
I'm on a thing. The thing with me and my wife is we have a main show we're watching, which is our Severance, which is Invincible, which is whatever. Mm. And we have a background show where I'm doing design work or whatever. We're blazing through.
Noise shows.
No show. Right.
Yeah, good point.
Right now, I'm the back of nearly finishing Prison Break. Mm. At the end of season 4, we'll chat about it, Splinter.
Although I can't believe that's your background show.
It's a good show, so though, because it's not really a background because I'm locked in. But The Simpsons one where I watched as a kid, as most like people who were in their mid to late 20s did. Love that show. So now I'm watching now, but I'm watching it reverse. So like started at the newest season, I'm going back. Ooh, so I'm on like season 9 now.
But then again, is it probably getting more offensive? So then is it getting
funnier? We talked
about
this. It's crazy later on.
Is it?
Crazy. Because Bart's calling, Nelson calls people gay all the time. His insults. Homer's mad racist early on. Barker's got an Asian friend and he's so racist.
You would think it would have been the other way around.
No,
you know?
No, I'm saying not back then though. Like when it was in like the 90s or whatever.
Okay,
they just weren't bothered about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine Nelson's calling people around 9/11? Can you imagine the stuff that they would have said?
Mental. Nelson's calling people like fruitcakes for wearing coloured on a tie. It's crazy. It's so mad.
Doesn't Bart call someone the F word? Little gay slur that I will not repeat on a live podcast.
No.
I thought you said he did.
I feel like
he calls... maybe it did happen.
I feel like I've heard that as well.
I'm sure you said that on this podcast.
I'm sure you said that on this podcast.
No, I think... No, he said... He said
or it's Nelson, is it?
He said Spacker a good few times. But it wouldn't surprise me if they...
That's a goated word.
If they said the hard F word.
Yeah. I feel like Mong and Spacker in Manchester is like a term of endearment.
It is. It's like, in The Simpsons, that's just Nelson's vocabulary.
I feel like just in British culture, insults are a term of endearment.
Absolutely, man.
Like, come on, you bellend.
Exactly, yeah.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's like, do you remember there was a period where, like, I think the C word, cunt, I don't know why I'd like...
censor
myself. But in America, I genuinely think only in the last 10 years they've put that even in films. Yeah. The C word was like...
Yeah, it feels like it's travelled.
Yeah, man. It was like sacrilege to say cunt in America. Yeah.
They don't really say it at all.
No, but like, do you remember when Jim Jefferies dropped it? And like,
but he's
10
Australian,
years ago.
Though.
Exactly,
they
but
love
because
it.
That was the point of his sketch. He was saying that he says it all the time and Americans looking like... Whoa.
Yeah,
but it's because Americans lean on like asshole.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, their vocabulary is dry, though. They say the same...
That's their hard one, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Ass. Like, jackass.
Have you got some at Splinter?
Have I got something?
Oh, you look like you looked like you had it. You were looking over like you had.
No,
like you
I was originally.
Liam's
searching.
Was did
just
he say
waiting
it like that, looking at you?
I thought you said you were. You had some, did he say it?
Well, no, I was searching whether or not Bart used the slurs, but I didn't want that in my search history.
Fair enough.
So
I
just decided to stay
quiet. I can't
quiet.
Be mad at that. You know what? It'll be on the screen now, and if you're audio listening, give it a search yourself.
Yeah.
Should we keep it going then? Because we've got a lot of stuff to get through today. So.
First of all, though, I know you were going to move on to something else, but we wanted to give you the opportunity to explain the origin behind your artist name.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
Let's start with that first.
shout out the anime heads back home.
I knew it was going to be. It was going to be Dragon Ball. I knew it was going to be.
Yeah.
Power levels over 9,000. Yeah, I knew it. Yeah, yeah. I knew it. So, explain to Sam and anyone else.
So basically. So I am a Zim-born artist, grew up in South Africa, America, England. My name is Munashe. That's my government name. I just go by Nash. But I always wanted to use my name, but obviously growing up, I mean, even the teachers couldn't get it right, man.
Yeah.
Like, the variations I used to hear of my name was crazy.
I imagine.
Like, so I went with Omo because I was always interested in Japanese culture growing
cool,
up from
yeah.
anime, things like that. Because Munashe is Omo in Japanese. And
sick.
It's quite That's interesting cool. because a lot of Japanese culture overlaps with Zim culture. Like we have a lot of the same names. Stuff like Tanaka,
okay.
Munashe being Omo. Like
really?
It's crazy that there's even translations like that. And then the 9K used to be 9,000. One, because I was a big Andre 3000 fan growing up. And then obviously the over 9,000. Hey, come on.
Yeah.
And the combination. And then it just became 9K after my first like proper Manchester show where basically I was getting interviewed and this guy was like, 9,000. Why don't you just go by 9K? I was like, that actually sounds really cool.
That's how the best nicknames start. When someone else sets 3,000
Andre 3K all the time, don't they? So like...
Yeah. I like it.
But I wanted to, you know, hold true to the
name.
Yeah,
man.
But then
that.
Obviously, as you start seeing content and stuff, it's like Omo 9000. It was like, became a bit of a word for. So, yeah, it just became Omo 9K and then just 9K.
Class.
I wouldn't have thought that Tanaka, you said. You're from Zimbabwe?
Yeah, we have Tanaka.
I never
and they
would
have
thought
Tanaka.
That. I've never heard that.
There's literally like a list. There's so many names and words where it's exact translations.
Mad.
So it makes me think like maybe... ancient history.
I was going to say, because you would have think, I mean, even just geographically, like those cultures are so far away.
They're so far apart.
I wouldn't have seen how that that would have overlapped
but
so long
when
ago.
When you think the ocean, that there's an ocean between
them.
Yeah,
them.
So there would have probably been some sort of thing. Because
that's interesting.
I mean, one of my friends, he's from Bermuda.
Class.
And
did you ever get lost?
Yeah.
Wee.
I always say that
Sorry.
To him.
Sorry.
but his surname is literally Ming, but it's because of ancient, like up his lineage. He's from like the
East
Chinese
Asia.
Empire.
Yeah.
Yo, that's cool. About that. I never knew that.
Caribbean.
Yeah, we're learning things. This podcast, we're learning stuff. So. You speak Bemba?
Cover all bases.
Yeah, what's Bemba?
I thought that was a national language of Zimbabwe.
Oh, bless him.
Never mind. Let's keep it going.
Did you see? He thought he got some white points in there, didn't he? Ally. I'm an ally.
That's the national language. Give it a search for that. Anyway, let's keep it going.
Don't embarrass.
Do you want to keep going, Sam?
And then classic. He's telling you from Zimbabwe. Yeah, it is. I'm telling you.
I know it is.
Classic gaslighting.
Keep going. Come on.
Do you want to do the next bit then?
Okay, go on then. So we've got a segment we do on every artist that comes on, Desert Island Discs. Mm-hmm. So three albums, Rest of Your Life, Desert Island. Mm-hmm. What are those albums to put you on the spot?
Ooh.
So you need serious replayability.
So only three?
Oh yeah.
Three.
And I'm there for life.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, especially because he's getting dogged on right now, but...
Oh, he's going
to
drop Drake, isn't
he? Yeah, yeah.
There's some good Drake albums, though.
No, but that's because
depends
as
which
a
one,
rapper...
Though.
Yeah?
As a rapper, I have to put that up there.
Which one are you going for, though? Depends what kind of mood...
Take Care, isn't
it? Take Care is the obvious one, yeah.
Take Care is
2011, Take Care.
Just the...
I think it's got the most...
The musical diversity, yeah. Really. Kanye West, 808 and Heartbreaks.
Nice. Oh, I love 808s, you know. Yeah. He's not a massive fan of 808. We're both huge Kanye fans. Oh, yay.
What's your favourites?
Oh, my favourite's Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by far.
See,
mine's Graduation.
I know
it's the cliche. But I love 808s.
Both are great choices. Yeah.
There's almost no wrong answers, though.
There's no wrong answers.
There's no wrong answers.
I think 808 and Heartbreaks simply because there's going to be times I might be sad.
Yeah.
Graduation, you're not going to really get that sadness.
No.
Yeah.
And... I don't know. Yeah, for me, just 808 and Heartbreaks has a nice variety of different sounds. Yeah,
we spoke about it last week because we spoke about long outros and Say You Will has got a massive outro
for
a long time. You know, fun fact, 808s, apart from obviously his gospel album, is the only album that's completely clean. Not one cuss word in all of 808s. Not one cuss word. Which is kind of mad.
Yeah,
think about it, but it is a clean album. The stuff he's talking about is great. Storytelling, Heartbreak, Streetlights, RoboCop.
Yeah,
these are great songs.
These are
great.
Like, when you go through the track list, it's Streetlights are so awesome.
There's so many great songs in that album.
Yeah, and then Daniel Caesar did it again, and it was so good.
Love Lockdown. There's so many great ones. See You in My Nightmares. There's not one song this album I don't know every single word to.
It was like a revolutionary album.
Oh yeah, it changed the landscape of hip hop.
Considering, and this is the thing, like I know people have got their opinions on him, but we'll always argue on it that when this guy walks around talking like he's the Don, you can't argue with it.
You can't.
How many times has he absolutely changed the game? 808s and Heartbreaks is by far my least favorite Kanye album, and it's better than like so many people's.
Yeah, it's
that moment in history that album had.
Yeah,
alone
he's changed sound
exactly
so many times. Yeah.
Exactly, like.
Heartless at the top there. 1. What billion views?
1.5. Yeah, nearly 1.
Yeah, and ironically, it's his biggest tune, isn't it?
And it came out 15 plus years ago, at least. Mental. Right, so you got a 12-track album then in that one. What's your third to close it out? Maybe you need like a Chris Brown, like 65-track album.
What's the Mac DeMarco one with like 135 songs on it?
Mac DeMarco's 12 hours long as
that's the one. Yeah,
it's like 240 tracks.
This is gonna be left field.
Go on.
Daft Punk,
nice.
Love it.
Yeah.
Random
Access Memories.
I can't remember the name of the album.
Is it a self-titled one, Daft Punk? Or
no, there was a short movie released along with it, an animated one.
Oh,
it's a classic one.
It's not a Discovery.
I was gonna say, is it not Discovery now?
It might be. It might be because I know.
Oh, hang on. Is it it's the one with
Interstellar 555?
Interstellar.
So what's which was the album that's tied to this? Because I know that what's the one that begins with V? It's got VRQ or something. It's got a weird name. And I know that's from that anime that you're talking about. And I can't think what it's called. But it's on that whatever that album
is. That is Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. No, One More Time.
Is that
Discovery?
Most likely will be Discovery.
That the blue people.
You pull up the track list for this, please, Splinter. So Splinter, just for audio listeners, is pulling up the track. This is.
Do you know the only reason I know that? I was showing music videos to the kids I was teaching at school the other day, and.
Oh, it hurt my heart.
It was already like getting blood from
Voyager.
The
that was it.
They don't know none of this.
Nothing.
Man, they don't.
That's Verdi's quote. When I was trying to remember what it is, that's the one I'm talking about. That's got in the music video. Has the thing. But that's a left field one. I like it.
So,
I like it. It's a good one.
Just because, again, variety. different emotions, because I'm thinking it's forever, man.
Forever, yeah, you need some variety.
You need variety.
You can't three of the same things.
Hyping trap music all the time.
You need something sad.
You want to laugh, you want to cry, you want to dance.
You need a nice mixed bag. I respect
it. What did you guys say?
I respect them.
We haven't done it yet, to be honest. Oh, fuck, we haven't actually done it.
I'd really struggle, you know.
I'd definitely struggle. Off the top of your head, though, the first that come to your mind.
It would be My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Blonde.
Blonde is fair.
And
Tyler.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Not Channel Orange.
No, we've had this
Mine would be Channel Orange. Channel Orange is in there for me.
I prefer Channel Orange to Blonde.
So, do you know what's I've got two Blonde records I had, and I sold one to my mate last night, and he came and picked it up, and we were having this exact discussion. I think it depends on where you were at in your like fandom of Frank Ocean when these albums came out. Like, I've discussed with him a few times because like Kendrick Lamar's my goat, but like I got into Kendrick Lamar quite late. I mean, I'm 26, but when Damn came out, I was a fan of Kendrick Lamar. So Damn was the first album that came out that I was a fan when it came out. Do you know what I mean? So Damn has such a staple for me.
Yeah.
Even though I know by far it's not even my favorite album of his. Yeah, but like
I don't know about worst.
No, absolutely.
No, this is worst.
No,
it's fine. Nah, it's fine to say it's his worst.
Damn's not.
Yeah, of course it is.
Nah, no, it's not.
Damn it's To Pimp a Butterfly.
I think Section 8 is.
No, it's not. It's To Pimp a Butterfly. It's Good Kid, Mad City.
You wait. Both of you aren't putting Good Kid as one.
I'll put it here. Absolutely, bro. Come on.
No, it's here. The storytelling's better, but the sound and everything is so much bigger and more complex in To Pimp a Butterfly. It's very different. But it's the same with Channel Orange and Blonde. I'm also enormous that I was listening to Frank when it came out in Channel Orange, and
that's
it's a perfect
I mean.
Sequel
yeah.
where everything he did in that he made bigger, and the sounds are bigger, the atmosphere's bigger, the storytelling's bigger, everything's bigger. But I do prefer Channel Orange.
Exactly the perfect point, though. I think if you were a fan when Channel Orange came out, it was like
I think that's what it is. Because by the time Blonde rolled round, I wasn't as tuned in as a fan at that point.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And then when I listened to it, I was like, this is what I waited for.
Yeah.
So I kind of just fell off of that. But when Channel Orange came, it was like, whoa, I've just come off future nostalgia.
Right,
I hear this and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I get
it.
So, I get you.
Crazy.
Well, that was the thing, I think, like, because growing up, like, my dad was into loads of 70s soul, so I had loads of 70s soul. And then there was lots of, like, indie rock, and it was all kind of rock stuff, really. Like, my dad was big in Pearl Jam and that. But then I got to college, like, sixth form college, and it was like Foals and indie rock, and then it, like, there was, like, a moment where it just switched to just, like, I think it was Kendrick Lamar, really. But I was always into Kanye, but, like, Kanye was just about as rap as it got for me growing up. Do you know what I mean? So, like...
And he was doing his own thing.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to think, like, Blonde and Damn, is that 2016?
2016.
I'm 18. I've just finished college. I've just hit music uni. Like, it was like a wave.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, Blonde... And at the end of the day, I think Blonde is an album that, like, there will never be a moment in life ever again where anyone releases an album that left field to me.
There might never be an album where he releases an album.
That's fucking true, yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Christ.
Especially when you add the moment of him doing the live stream, like,
oh,
the day
my
before.
God, yeah. Exactly,
like,
yeah.
That whole, yeah, as yeah. a whole moment, that was insane.
Yeah.
And he finessed the bag.
Exactly.
Was it with Innerscope? Who was he with at the time when he was doing that?
Yeah, he was with Innerscope.
I think it was.
Yeah,
and it was for 10 mil. Story. Yeah, crazy.
Frank Ocean single-handedly put who knows however many artists under 360 deals because of what he pulled
Absolutely,
off.
Absolutely,
like,
man.
It's insane.
Damn. I mean, what he put out wasn't trash though. Like, the album that's only on, like, SoundCloud.
Yeah, that
the
visual
that,
album, yeah.
Yeah. When he's making, like, I don't know, chairs and what tables. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, he was just in
stuff,
some mad industrial room.
I respect
just, like,
it.
Smashing stuff
I
up.
I respect it.
So, I think that was three. Was that my three? Do you want to give us three?
Yeah, I'll go.
I'm going to change it in an hour.
Yeah, I would change it. As soon as we finish, it'll be different three.
Exactly, man.
I'll go Channel Orange again.
Yeah.
King City one, I said it'd probably be mine as well. Colouring Book, Chance the Rapper. I love that album.
That's a good album.
Wait. Yeah.
I realize that because it's such
a
mix.
A Grammy unsigned.
Was it?
Yeah.
There you go.
But then again,
it's a good mix of rap, but also gospel, and it fits so well.
Yeah.
It fits so well having
Ultra Light Beam with Kanye and Chance the Rapper is one of my all-time favorite songs.
I know it is.
And I don't know why it never made the main album, man.
Yeah, not that version. No, of course it didn't. It was just thingy.
For Life of Pablo.
Absolutely.
To close it out, give me.
Blessing, bro. Blessing. Amazing.
Yeah, I love that album. I go back and listen to it all the time. Almost every song has got
version as
ultimate
well, Blessings.
Repeatability.
Is that the one that's got like literally like Anderson Paak on it?
Yeah. He brought everyone.
I think Bilal's on it.
He changes a lot what he does in that performance as well.
Yeah,
But oh, I can't think of third is now.
What happened, man?
Oh, bro, yeah. That's such an amazing question.
Like, hot damn hot bomb.
Don't
hot
take
shower.
Hot shower. No hot shower in the studio. No hot shower. I like the opening song on the Big Day.
A great artist in every sense.
I really like the opening song on Big Day. And that's the only one.
That's the only one.
And the rest of it,
I liked
like,
that, that holy tune he did with Justin Bieber. It was a very pop tune, but it was such a like such a well produced pop tune.
None of his biggest songs are from
this album was crazy for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, honestly, Peaches I thought was a fucking tune.
Peaches is a big.
I still play that gig.
Heavy
all the
album.
Time.
This how many tunes? It have 40 tunes.
16.
Oh, 16. It's a lot of hairs on it.
That album made Benny Blanco a million. Just know it.
Yeah, let me close it out with Graduation.
Yeah, fair
close
enough.
Out with Graduation. But like I said, it could change genre per genre.
Well, this is it.
Day to day.
And the funny thing is, if I look at my three, every artist I pick there, I could take another album off them.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah. I've not even agreed. Kendrick agreed. There, yeah. Agreed.
Like, there's multiple that you could have from there. Yeah.
Well, you put it in a greatest hits as an album because that could be a cheeky one. Because one's like Tupac's greatest hits.
Yeah, there isn't a Kendrick.
They've got
one.
20
just
tracks.
Artist. Like
true, but it's official
catalog. Well, take?
Well, catalog itself.
Well, we'll get to that later.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll keep it moving on because we've got a lot to sort to. You've got to take us through the BBL and nothing to do with batties.
Yeah.
The British Basketball
BBL,
League
BBL.
And how that happened, how it got together.
Yeah.
Please tell us that story of how that came together and what happened.
Yeah. Okay. So. I think it started probably 6 years ago, which is crazy how life works out, man. Mm. 6 years ago, I'm just an upcoming artist in Manchester trying to make a name for myself, you know, try and create a bit of momentum. I've dropped a couple of songs, I think, because I'm like 8 years deep now. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm about 2 years into my career. I've now like released a couple of songs where it's like, okay. These are pretty good. People are liking these. I'm now getting booked for a couple of shows here and there. I meet this guy named Mark. He basically was like running events at Off the Square. Back when Off the Square was early days.
What's his surname? I know him.
You know Mark. He moved away.
He used to do Zombie Shack for all the gigs at RNTM.
Yes. Yes. I forgot his name.
I hope you don't hear this.
Shout out Mark. Yeah. Shout out Mark.
He's put a lot of people on in the city, you know, to be fair.
Honestly, especially around that era. Like,
He used to get a lot of stick from people at RNCM. Yeah. Because some of them were shit gigs, but like, he literally gave.
But he was putting his name out there for it. Like,
he gave every young artist in Manchester their first gig.
100%.
How is that a criticism?
Off the Square wouldn't be what it is today without what he was doing
absolutely.
Back then. Because so many events run off from Off the Square now. But
yeah.
Anyway, I met Mark. You know, he gave me opportunities and he introduced me to his business partner at the time. Shout out Kill Miami. And yeah, they were telling me they were starting a sync business back then.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Someone's guessing this.
I wanted to ask you about that. We'll get back to it.
You can ask me questions about it. But basically at the time, I didn't even know what sync was. I was like,
it is a myth as well.
It's a myth.
It's like something we'll all want to crack and we never can. Well, you did. Go on, carry on.
Come on. So, that was that. Made that connection. Fast forward 4 years later now. I've now made a name for myself, done headline shows, yada, 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 made some noise in the city. And Kill Miami has now hit me up years later. And he's just like, they've had my music in their catalog for like 2-3 years at this point. And then he just hits me up out of the blue. He's like, yo, we've got this partnership that we want to do. And I heard your track, Hallelujah, and it has the sound that we want to do for this track. It's like, okay, like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, then we started talking and it started like falling into place. Like, oh, this is what's happening. And then we made the song. We went to the studio. It was like, In some like, I kid you not, it looked like what's that film with the sunken place?
Get out.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was like that.
Yeah.
I kid you not. It was some compound in the middle of nowhere. We drove.
What
down.
Have I got myself into?
What am I?
They told me this was for a song.
And then we got there. I
swear, just turn to the screen. Splinter's got to get out on. The amount of time he does this, you know, we're having a conversation. And you just turn around.
It was the house.
Oh, like, what? So the studio was in a house?
In a house like that, in the middle of nowhere.
Like an artist residency,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was pulling up just the house for the.
Literally.
For
the amount of time to turn around on that screen makes no sense to me.
But yeah, well, carry on.
You're
at the house.
Scale of the universe.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Sorry, go on.
So
yeah.
I'm at this house now. We've arrived. Then I see the studio. I'm like, whoa. This is what's going on. Okay. We made the song. It was a great vibe. Shout out Lady Ice as well. We both collaborated on the song. Made the song. And I thought, that's that. I'm going to get some money off that and royalties down the line, of course. And then 3 months later, he hits me up again. He's like, we're performing at O2 next year. I'm like, wait, the O2? Because I thought maybe the Manchester one.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's like, the O2 in Manchester now.
Everything's the O2. We had like O2 two
Ritz,
O2s.
The O2 Apollo, the O2 Academy. Yeah.
And he's like, nah, O2 London. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, and then as time went on, I'm finding out more. Then he's like, oh, it's being streamed on Sky Sports. And I'm like, oh, snap. And then there's a whole campaign. There's adverts. There's a shoot. And yeah, man. So it was definitely like an incredible moment. And just goes to show, you never know where someone's going to be, man. Because came from that connection with Mark 6 years before. Like, so yeah.
It reminds me of that quote you say, your net worth is your net worth. So obviously that's you had a good connection. And they've said, hey, we think you're good for this. And then next thing you know, you're performing Sky Sports Live. You do what in the, was it half time? Before they started?
It was before the finals game.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Obviously they'd done a few games. They'd done the women's tournament as And then the final game, it was London Lions versus Cheshire Phoenix. Yeah. Before the final game, they basically had us perform live and
mad.
It was incredible. Unreal. It was like, at the time, the stadium was not fully full. But there was still like 10,000 people.
Yeah, it's insane.
And also,
yeah,
you're not accounting for, do you know what the numbers were of people watching, like,
that's
at home?
Good
point. Who people tuning in?
Televised numbers.
Because then if you're adding that on as well, that's a lot of eyeballs on it.
It was a lot. I'm not too sure on the exact figure, but I know when they did the campaign for the song itself, it was like on 1 million views.
So.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Did you see a spike like in your own social, your own videos? You see a lot more engagement.
I saw a lot of followers coming. I mean, my stories were blowing up like crazy.
Yeah. I reposted it.
So, definitely like the biggest moment in my career so far. So, yeah.
So absolutely. Far.
I like
that's
that.
The attitude,
I was just going to say
course.
That.
That's my biggest this year, last year even.
Yeah.
I respect it. I love it. I wanted to get on as well because I couldn't see. We went, did a deep dive on your Instagram. Mm. But for an artist, you keep it very low key. Because some people have had it on. We had on George, the CEO of Soulsplay. He had 100,000 TikToks to go through together. Yeah. Real deep dive. Yours is a little more carefully
curated. Yeah.
Carefully curated is a good way to put it. What is going on with you in this video game one? Because I tried to go through even our messages at the time and found out, and there was nothing I could see on it. If you're legally allowed to talk
I'm legally allowed to
NDA's
talk.
Up to his eyebrows.
So I'm basically the main music engineer. I don't know what the word, composer, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm the main composer on a video game coming out called Yasuke Lost Descendant. Check that out on YouTube.
Okay.
IGN trailer out there. Amazing video game. So I'm the main sound designer on that. The reason you couldn't find much is because a lot of stuff I'm not allowed to share yet.
Yeah, it's intentional then.
So, like, there's a whole theme song that was created, and every time that people have heard the theme song, they're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And I've not even been able to put it out yet.
Oh really? Have you got a date on that? Did they imagine, is that this year or are they waiting for?
Oh yeah, I've managed to like agree to a date this year basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to tell us that date?
Oh, for the game?
Yeah.
Oh no, the game's not this year.
The song
will be
the song.
Gotcha. Nah, the game not this year.
So it was like a concept trailer, the one that got put out, because I tried to find it again and couldn't find it, but I remember seeing it on Instagram at the time.
It was pretty much a first beta trailer. That was on IGN. Yeah. It's been on loads of gaming awards. It's also been on Format GG. Shout out Simran, who's been putting that together. It's in the works, basically.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's one where, to answer the first part to the question, I curate my world basically to tell a story. There's plenty of archive posts. Yeah. Like, I'm sure you can agree on this. Plenty of stuff goes into the background, but it's just because my influences, when you look at people like Kanye West, again, people like Daft Punk, even people like Pharrell Williams, even MF Doom.
Yeah, totally.
Like, they create a world that people can immerse themselves in. And for me, as a creative, as a musician, and as an art lover, just art in general, from the studio itself, it's like you want to be immersed in something. So I always try and make my Instagram feel like that, where the minute you land, you might not know me. But
if you get a good picture of what you're about.
Yeah. I like, totally, 15 seconds, you need to be able to understand, okay, he likes vibrant colors. Yeah. He has a lot of popping themes and... You know, so
those are the words of someone who's done marketing as a job.
Yeah,
and knows what they're talking about. Well, you know, we'll have you on back when it does come out, or just before, and you've got more to talk about it because we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
The question is, are we going to see you in Fortnite as a playable character? Because at this point,
Fortnite run me the bag.
At this point, every man and his dog is will be on Fortnite before the end of the year.
He's running next to Homelander in Warzone. in spring. Yeah,
that's what I mean. It's getting like that at the minute.
Even Tom Hardy's in Fortnite, and they just put they put him in a bomber jacket and jeans. Like, he's not a
just as Tom Hardy.
It's Tom Hardy. It's not Eddie Brock Venom. It's Tom Hardy.
Jesus. Marcus Rashford's gonna be in Fortnite.
I'm surprised he isn't already.
Yeah, literally.
In his West Ham kit or whatever he is.
Oh my god, let's have a look at it. Oh, literally, it's Tom Hardy.
Looks like it.
That's
or he's just in a bomber and
that's what I'm saying. It's just Tom Hardy.
Oh, just say Eddie Brock.
Okay.
Yeah, but still, why would you put him in as Eddie Brock when he's fucking Venom?
Surely the name Tom Hardy would be bigger than Eddie Brock. If you're going to do this as a marketing thing.
Who the hell Tom Hardy is?
That's nuts.
Yeah, mental. Let's keep it going because we got a lot to cover through. Do we want to move on to Mount Rushmore? Do you want to go through Grammys first?
Well, should we discuss the Super Bowl while we're at it?
We might as well go on to the Super Bowl, which is this Sunday. So if you're hearing this, it's long gone.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's long gone. Well, we'll have the episode out. We'll have the audio episode out.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you reckon is going to go down, you know? Because I saw loads of people saying as well that because Trump's there, Kendrick Lamar has the opportunity to just do the funniest thing in the world and just shit all over Donald Trump for 30 minutes.
Well, why would he do that? It'd be a total waste of his time.
He fucking hates him.
Well, I mean, he can do, but sure. But I'm saying he's going to do, it's him, it's SZA, it's Keem, no one else. And I don't really want anyone else coming out there.
You don't think Ab's going to be on
there? No, don't bring Ab's soul. Don't
Mustard's going to come out, surely.
Mustard probably will come out. But I don't want to see the rest of, I don't need to see the rest of, but I know he's always wanted to put those guys on.
Yeah.
Unless he brings out, what's he called who did Win?
Who's J-Rock.
J-Rock. If he comes out and does J-Rock, but he's weird, I would love to see that because I love that song. But I don't think it needs to. His discography is already big enough.
But Dre did that. Dre brought out loads of people from his...
He did, but I think for that was more of a... That was a hip-hop. It wasn't more like...
It was like a curation of
it was. It was
history,
like, it was what? Dre, Snoop, M50.
Yeah.
Missy Elliott?
No, who, Missy Elliott didn't come out.
There was a woman there, though.
It was...
Who was it?
Mary J. Blige.
Yeah. Mary J. Blige. They got, I think it was more just like, it's hip-hop is on this year, where this time, because it's him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, people thought that Tyler was going to be there because he put out one of his music video for Sticky and it starts with them playing football and everyone's going, you're not slick. We know you're going to be there. And he was like, I'm on tour. Go watch Kenny.
I'm not still hoping he's just having us on, you know.
I don't think he would show up. But we'll see.
Oh, but this
I don't see how he would miss it. Why would he miss it?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl moment's about to be crazy.
It really is.
And I'm conflicted. I remember I was conflicted.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted because...
Are you saying to watch it?
Because you like Drake. That's why.
Nah, because I grew up a Drake fan.
Yeah.
And a Kendrick fan at the same time.
Shout out, Hannah.
And it's like, but at the same time, it's like, yo, they really gave him the Super Bowl after everything that's happened. Wow. After everything that's happened.
Five Grammys for calling someone a pedo.
Hold on, we're not getting into it yet. We're saving it.
Yeah,
we're saving
it. Yeah, we'll get on that.
We're saving
it's for his whole set. So basically what I've heard is that through the, well, obviously it's a, I was going to call him Rockefeller.
Rock Nation.
Thank you. They're putting it on, but it's already been confirmed that they've kind of said to Kendrick, look, you can play the song, but they need to make a decision televising it whether to put the subtitles on of the lyric.
Not just that lyric though, because there's a lot of...
It's riddled in it.
He's got a lot of lyrics, I think, across a lot of songs. You're not really going to want him to...
No, but I mean more the stuff, considering Drake's getting very hefty with his lawsuits.
Yeah, you've got to be careful.
Oh, well, I did hear he dropped it. Yeah, but this... More thinking that, you know, if Rock Nation and, you know, whoever's televising it, if they are throwing up the lyrics subtitled of calling Drake something? Is it they're scared of getting sued, basically?
I think it's. I don't think they will. I think they'll maybe tell him to make a. I can't remember if they did a clean show last year, but I think they probably will make him just do. Yeah. But he's not. He's used to this. Like when you go on to do an award show, you do a clean version.
He always
of your
makes
song.
Different versions.
Exactly. But this is the thing, though, with what he's saying about Drake. It's not like it's not like he's swearing or anything like that. It's more just, the content of his lyrics.
It's
that's going to be
defamation.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're worried about. It's incriminating.
If he goes up on stage and plays to 120 million live viewers, then there's no way he gets away with any. Like a lawsuit would come on his desk.
But this is what I mean. So basically, this is what I'm saying. Like the companies have already decided. Look, he's going to play it, but are we going to put the subtitles up?
I think they're going to put it.
They've got to, haven't they? Really?
After the UMG lawsuit situation.
Yeah, man.
We know how these labels are. They're like, you're gonna come for me?
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah.
The fact they even gave him the Super Bowl after.
They picked a side. Do you know what I mean?
Like, after. Like, that told us, like, oh, we're not finished.
No.
They recognized the culture said, he's won it. They went, he's won it. He's got it then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And let's not forget the Amazon show as well. He's had athletes, his own friends, LeBron James.
Apparently him and Drake not speaking terms now.
Yeah, he's ruined friendships.
He's ruined friendships. So I feel like they might not put the subtitles, but they know what they want.
I don't think it makes a difference whether they put subtitles.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Because
we know
120 million people are going to be shouting, trying to strike a chord, but it's probably A minor.
I mean, they sang it at the Grammys.
Fucking not Taylor Swift going A minor.
Well, people were singing it at the Grammys.
Did you hear it? When he was walking up and they played it, the second the lyric came out, the whole room screamed A minor.
Which is mad because most of these people know him.
Exactly.
Well, so you're talking about your coworker.
Yeah.
You're talking about your colleague.
Let's be honest, with just how like active they are in the public eye, most of them are going to be more friends with Drake than they're going to be friends with Kendrick.
Yeah, because Kendrick's
potentially
exactly because he's always at home, you know,
and he's been around longer. But should we get onto that now? Talking about the Grammys for it because he went
go on him.
5 for 5. He won five Grammys.
Splinter, because I'm
yeah,
fairly sure.
If you could pull up some of the headlines, he went 5 wins off one song, which matches Drake's all-time Grammy nominations, which is outrageous.
It's a burial.
And I think it's not deserving. I do think Drake should have more than that, but still, that's besides the point. To win 5 Grammys on a single song for like best rap performance, best song of the year, best record, it's
off a
mental.
Single.
Absolutely.
Off a single,
for the people
which
at
is a
home,
diss.
To win a Grammy, you usually have to submit an album.
Oh
and
my God,
one
yeah.
of your songs
and your soul.
Yeah. From the album gets you a Grammy. Off a single.
A throwaway diss track. Almost.
Which won't make any album.
A song that wouldn't have come out if he wasn't in a feud. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, it was.
But technically, insane. I'm not on his side, but Drake was right when he said, Kendrick just opened his mouth. Somebody hand him a Grammy right now. Technically.
That makes Drake right because like,
no, but I think as well, it is the truth. Yeah. It is the truth.
Not, Drake said it because it's like, oh, Kendrick can fart and they give him a Grammy. Like, no,
it
it's because
deserve,
it's quality stuff.
It does deserve record of the year because it was the record of the summer. And it really had that long lasting,
absolutely.
Every man and his dog knew
culturally,
about it.
Yeah.
Culturally, it deserved it. But ones that didn't maybe deserve it, album of the year, Beyonce.
Oh, my God.
The lowest rated album with one big tune, didn't rate anyway, and it had the lowest amount of weeks. I don't know if you've got it up, Splinter, at all in the headlines on it. The lowest amount of weeks at number in the top 200 was her album. All the others outperformed in every category and sales and views and whatever.
I meant to send it to my iPad.
Mental.
Billie Eilish is just the single Birds of a Feather off that album.
Yeah.
Can you get it up for us, please?
Big fat tune.
Just the statistics. It was like 35 times bigger than Beyonce's album,
I mean.
Stream-wise. Just the whole album.
Yeah.
That one song of Billie Eilish.
Billie's been getting shagged on a regular with her nominations. Like,
but she's got 2 Oscars at this point, to my knowledge.
There's a palm,
a stack of Grammys and she's 22.
It's starting to feel like, you know, when a referee is like, gives a fouling and then it shouldn't have been a foul and then the referee's clearly thinking I shouldn't have given that, so I'm going to give a foul somewhere else.
Yeah, we can't
like
be playing that though
Eilish
with awards
now.
Though
Billie Eilish has won that many, they've just kind of
but
like,
she's,
because she's missed 7.
Yeah,
is that many?
She's missed 7,
but then how many she's got? She's
this
got
year alone
10,
it was
though.
Like 5 or 6 she missed though, wasn't it? It was
she's got 10 though, hasn't she? She got 10. How many she's how many she got?
Who's
Eilish? How many Billie Eilish Grammys?
I sent him on another rabbit hole, that's my fault.
Yeah, sorry.
But either way, I mean, what the other thing was, you've got to remember Jay-Z said on stage last year,
yeah,
it's criminal that Beyonce hasn't won.
He basically pressed
fucking
on their
the
neck
next
and told
possible
them.
Opportunity. Exactly, yeah.
It
I mean, going in down the conspiracy rabbit hole. I know you love a good conspiracy.
We did a whole bunch of episodes in this, so we know why it happened. It's never It's who's in their pocket.
Why we gotta think Beyonce every time?
Why do we gotta think?
And why is Beyonce's face like, oh, me? Oh my God, you're gonna give it to me?
I never knew. There's a clip.
She should have got an Oscar for the performance of reacting to her getting that.
There's
award.
A clip Careful, of last year's.
And Jay-Z might go.
By the way, I want to thank Beyonce for just something. Yeah. There's a clip. Just in case. Yeah.
There's a clip we spoke about last year's Grammys when they're all graduating, when she won whatever one she won. And you see Diplo go, made for that. And he says they paid for that. And it was, they acting like televising him doing that. Because they're all going, well, going, we all know.
We all know.
You've got that because you two are the top of the food chain. It's going to happen. Yeah,
totally.
You would have said to them, we're not showing up. She's getting album of the year. Mm. And they've gone, but Jay, everyone else outperformed her. And they went, doesn't matter. She's getting it.
It's the fact they give a country album of the year as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was, it felt like a cop out.
It's barely country. The only song I knew apart from that one is the one that had Kendrick on it, which I did like, the Who Does America Love? No, it's a hip hop song. That's on
that
album.
The one with Miley Cyrus was pretty country, but I only heard it 30 seconds of it once.
I only know the first 5 seconds if they say Texas.
More country artists doing way.
Well, this is what's criminal in it.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, country in it is massive.
I'm not a massive country fan, but it's like it's on the up at the moment.
It's back.
Country's back. You're absolutely right. It's back in.
Yeah.
Same with Disco House.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like we're just having a resurgence of like the 70s and
the 80s. Well, it's right like now. A 30-year rule, I've always said. Like, you got to the 70s, then it was 2000s with Jamiroquai, and now we're like 25 years later. So it's like, it's approaching now, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, your Dua Lipas and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad for it. But
yeah, man, totally.
I do feel like hip hop needs that now.
Do you think, don't Splinter, you got the clip ready, but is hip hop for everyone though?
It's at a point now. We have enough subgenres.
But are you sure, though, it's look for at, everyone?
This feels like because there's something
look at Lil Nas X.
No, he's saying something else.
Yeah, but even that still as well, though. That's it. Just, I don't know if you saw this clip. Have you got
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
I don't know if you saw this one of Taylor dancing to Not Like Us.
Yeah, so for our audio listeners, it's Taylor Swift very uncomfortably dancing.
Well, of course, first of all, she's tall as like the us. Navi from Avatar.
she's
throwing
she's
back.
An Amazonian, man.
Yo!
It's just the strangest look. When I saw this,
did
in
you
the
see
break,
her with finger guns?
Oh, yeah, I
she was firing out finger guns.
It makes
to
me
fucking,
feel
to not like us.
It feels like
yeah.
if you,
yeah, yeah.
It feels like if your white grandma was head bobbing to Jay Huss, you'd be like, yeah. I don't. It's just, it's okay. Yeah. It's not for you.
She was a gang sign away from covering everything she possibly could have said.
Yeah, outrageous. Oh, and then we get onto this. I don't know if you saw the clip.
This hurt my heart.
I don't know why we do. Did you see this? So there were two reporters that were talking to Kenneth Edmonds.
19 each as well. So 19 years old.
He need 13-time Grammy Award winner, and these two were talking to him, and he's telling his story about being there for the millionth time because he's won a bunch of Grammys. 2017 Songwriters Hall of Fame and also for Soul Train for his contributions to that. And then Chaperone walks by and they go, yeah. And he's like, it's all right, I'll move on.
Well, one of them goes, Chapel. And the other one just looks at me and goes, sorry, love.
Yeah. And basically and he just goes, okay, gets moved go. On for someone else younger who's fresh. And it honestly hurts to see this
is it. I mean, granted, she won Best New Artist. Like, she's...
Yeah, but
she's,
but
it's more just they should have been sacked from disrespecting
they did,
an icon.
So the Grammys reached out and then put out a statement saying they apologized for the disrespect against him, that he was in a mid-interview, they were talking to him, and then they just moved him on. And it's so sad to see.
Yeah, it was.
It's sad to see
I
that.
Feel like this just extends to the whole music industry, though. Just we've lost that thing that made music as a business great, which is like the love of the craft.
Yeah, I think it's the community.
The love of the craft's gone.
Big time.
We the love this. Of the craft is gone.
Did you ever see the clips when, terrible example, Tekashi 6ix9ine was talking about how rigged the system
hell.
Is. Yeah. And he was like, loads of you in the live, you're better rappers than me. I know you can make better music than me. Mm. I know this, but it's rigged. You will never make it.
You'll never
like
get
I made it
spot.
Because of this same reason, because it's rigged. And that's the way it's sold.
The thing is, and we could go into it, but like it's that TikTok era, isn't it? Like it's, I don't know. Like,
well,
I mean,
so many artists made it because of TikTok.
Exactly.
Doja made it because of TikTok. Steve Lacy, another one, massive because of TikTok. Mm. I don't know if you saw there was
Bunch
a
Shaboozy as well.
Yeah.
There was a clip of his live show and his biggest song. I can't remember which one it is because he had quite a
bad
few.
Habit. Are you talking about Steve
Lacy? It's probably Bad Habits, yeah.
Yeah, and, no
and he was trying to get
verse.
Everyone to sing the verse.
I remember that.
No one knew it.
It was so funny.
And it's
and
so
really
sad because people were there waiting.
For that one for line.
This, and it's gone from, well, everyone's attention
well.
Spans have gone shorter and shorter. People are showing up to shows for 40 seconds of a song that they've heard from an album of an artist who's done.
Well, that's what I mean as well, as why it has, how that's killed the love for the craft.
Yeah,
because the love for the craft now, like,
it's getting short.
I don't, you'll probably agree with me, but like, I've hit this point in my career with my original stuff. Now, I know we were talking about it before, but like, I've just come to the decision that I'm not going to compromise anymore, because at the end of the day, I have to believe in what I'm making.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because if I don't, how can I expect anyone else to? Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to consciously make that decision, because at the end of the day, if you make the decision that everyone else is making of what's going to pop me off on TikTok, what's going to like, what's going to have a 30 second catchy bit that will blow up, then that's not the love of the art and the craft, is it? That's the business and the marketing side of it. I mean, obviously we need to balance that.
Of course.
But I just think that balance has gone completely the other way.
Yeah, like, it's out of whack.
It's insane.
And not just that, like, it's kind of like selling your soul, isn't it? Like,
totally.
It is exactly selling your soul.
It's by definition.
It is exactly what it is.
You know what I mean? Because, and not just that, like, I feel like people are now making music for people who won't care in the long run.
Oh my God,
yeah. Your point.
Yeah.
Like,
you're so right,
if you think someone like, look at Ice Spice. A year ago, you could not get away from Ice Spice.
The ice has melted.
I wish
the
I could.
Ice melted. Nice. Yeah, I saw you talk about this,
It's glass of water now. It's not Ice Spice. Like, so, and that's only a year. Yeah. And so off of that alone, I agree with you, man.
This is it. I was always told, and then I've kind of grown up to see it for myself, that at the end of the day, if you chase the trends, you know, you'll have your flash in the pan moment. Like what you were saying before as well.
Yeah.
You'll if you're lucky anyway, you'll have your flash in the pan moment. But if there's no substance to it,
yeah,
your moment will go.
And then what and
I'm not going to name drop, because like, as much as I don't like them, but I'll totally tell you after. There's plenty of artists I know that have had their moment. And because they were chasing those trends, the second the trend moved on, no one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they might have had a higher point, higher than what I could have ever dreamed of. Yeah. And it's not like I would have still wanted that moment. But, you know, what's the point if it's just
nothing? You
know what?
Prime example of that, at the end of, oh my gosh, I should put J. Cole in my Desert Island Discs. In the end of KOD, in 1985, he's talking directly to Lil Pump, who dissed him, talking about old man music, no one wants that conscious stuff. And then the whole thing is him, it's not even a diss track, because it's more him
advice.
Because he's saying you only got hot because you were riding trends. And they talk about when you get older, the money's going to slow up. And people, the show's a lot lighter because they don't show up. And he's basically saying how you were only hot because you were doing this silly acid rap, which people, 15-year-old white boys, like for a summer. And then it goes. But then you've wasted your money on jewels and whatever. You haven't retired your parents. You haven't bought a home. And he was saying exactly this, that you're
Lil
riding
Pump makes
this
me
thing.
Want strip naked and jumping a nail.
Well,
bush.
Just the name already. You go, is this someone who's going to write quality music? And no, because this is what it's about.
His name's kind of sus as well. I don't know why.
It is a little bit sus.
Like a self burn.
Yeah. I'll give you a Lil Pump.
It is a little bit. You're not wrong,
totally.
But obviously, that was what it was back in the time. And yeah, and to add to your point about that flash in the pan moment, I feel like you'll relate to this, where substance wins over time.
Yeah.
And I've seen this because I've been to one of your shows, and I'm sure you've seen a clip of one of my shows that those people who do operate on the flash in the pan moments when it comes to time to showcase artistry and have a show.
There you go.
You don't see that many people there.
No.
There you go.
No.
You do not. Yeah. Us who do tend to, we've had the grinding journey.
Yeah, put the groundwork.
Put the groundwork. Where if we were to base it off algorithmic numbers like TikTok and whatever, then we wouldn't compare, yet our shows will be packed out venues. Why? Because people connect with real people.
Yeah.
People don't connect with trends. People,
those numbers don't reflect real life.
They
not
don't
at all.
Like, they honestly don't. No. And I've seen it time and time again, man, where, because I work in nightlife as well.
Yeah.
And I've seen it where clubs have booked an artist because of their TikTok following.
Oh, yeah, that's outrageous.
And then, like, someone has 100,000 followers, you go to the night and you see 10 people in the gaff.
Yeah.
You're like,
this is it. The industry just can't work out what to do right now, because it's like, we need to keep up, but we don't understand.
We said this, though, but how many of your favourite artists ever never would have made it?
This is
it. That girl that went viral said, Tom York's going to be going, this is the song of the summer.
Yeah.
You would never hear loads of your favourites because they're not out here on Instagram and on stuff like that. You would never hear
exactly them. And this is why it kind of like, it shatters all of my hope as well, because the two artists that I would kill to be like, Frank Ocean and James Blake, both of them massively famous, but
until
could walk down the street and no one knows who they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I could walk up to 10 people out there and 10 of them wouldn't know who they are.
Shout out to James Blake.
Do you know what I mean? Like, James Blake's worked with everybody on the planet. and like is got a career that I would like massacre children for. Like, I fucking love that
he
man
might
so
have
much.
Children, yeah, that's true, yeah, that's the point.
Kids at his job, watch out.
Yeah, exactly. But like at the same time, the man is completely like you could walk down the street and nobody knows who he is.
Well, they might assume he plays ball as well.
Yeah, because
he's like
massive.
6'5".
He's deceivingly tall. Massive.
Why
yeah.
has he got the voice like that? Yeah.
But also, shout out James Blake as well for actually sticking up for artists and fighting the industry as
well.
Oh
yeah, massively.
That was another thing when we were talking before, like we did a clip on that ages ago when he first started his platform trying to do it. And we thought we were really cool journalists. It was really cool. And they got about fucking 10 views.
Yeah, people don't want to hear
and
that.
And then I called Mason Greenwood a prick and it like blew up. Okay, whatever. But anyway, but one more thing, because, and I won't, again, we won't name drop him because hopefully we'll get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
But we know a few people that have been signed by like a big money deals because labels were like, you blew up on TikTok and we don't know how to keep up.
I knew this is who he's talking about.
Yeah, okay, we'll keep that quiet. But that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
In fact, okay, if we're not going to say who it is, it was like 300K, I believe.
On one video?
Well, no, they had one tune that had blown up on TikTok because the person in question had paid a lot of influencers to like post their tune and it worked. Like, don't get me wrong, it worked. Like, you know, and it popped off. And honest to God, I think especially anyone under 25 knows the song. We'll tell you that.
Yeah,
absolutely knows the song. So to be fair, like it popped off and everything, but it's like the labels were like, okay, They were basically like guinea pigs for this new era of like trying to do not play it, fucking hell. Do not play the song. But these labels were like, okay, well, they're the biggest thing, so we'll throw money at them. And then they sent them on this run of shows, and they like the 6 months they had over summer looked incredible. They were playing mad festivals and everything. Mm. And then they were dropped.
Yeah, but that's how the label journey goes.
Exactly. But they were like, oh, hang on, you know, because
they were dropped in that short of time.
Pretty much. Well, it was less than a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was literally like nuts. 9 months after the festival period and a bit
but
after.
It's because they've squeezed as much as they can and it's thrown away. It's who's the next hot thing.
Exactly.
Which is horrible.
That's what I mean, because it was a song. Well, it wasn't the song on Spotify. I mean, don't get me wrong, they've got mad streams on Spotify, but it was the video, like the sound on TikTok that had blown up.
Yeah.
But throwing 300K at someone for that. Mm. That's
but that labels are dumb, innit? Like
that's how exactly. That's the thing is they tried to adapt to the new like generation.
They tried to
music
frantically
listeners.
Catch up.
Labels don't understand. That's why they do these things.
But it's why they're obsolete now. It's why we don't need them in
that
sense.
But this thing with Chance,
if we all had their money, we'd all be famous. It's not Chance the marketing.
It's because we don't have A&Rs anymore.
Yes, man.
We've lost the people with the ear. Yeah. A&Rs used to find the talent and be like,
they used to
I can
go on
hear
the
where I can hear where this is gonna be.
Yeah.
Whereas labels look at where are we at,
where
now?
Are the numbers. Yeah, that's what it is. Who's popping?
Who's popping? Where's
exactly? Like at the end of the day, if I'm already popping, why do I need a label? You're supposed to make me pop. That's the whole point of a record label, and they just not like that anymore.
Mm. And not just that, with the age of internet, like, and shout out all the artists doing it at home, man.
Totally.
Like self-sufficiency is what it is now. Like you don't need a label deal.
Nah.
These artists on label deals are in worse situations than you.
Mm-hmm.
How many times
it looks great online.
It looks great online. Yeah. Yeah, picture when you signed the papers, 1,000 likes, cool.
Yeah, man.
What about 8-9 months later and you're asking, can I please release a song?
No.
Imagine asking to release your craft.
Yeah,
like,
It's and then you don't own it anyway.
And then you don't own it. And then you're in debt now because you got an advance, but you got to pay that money back. Yeah,
and that's a common misconception as well. That that money all comes back.
Yeah.
Like they're basically lending the money for you to make it back for them, and then they fuck you off anyway.
Literally. I'd rather just be a broke artist than be in debt to a label.
And also don't forget, when you're in the label, not only are you broke and they control your sound, your image. They go, but it's popping now that you need to be wearing like this. We need you to do glitter on your face. You go, I don't really roll like that. And they go, doesn't matter. You're now glitter face 9,000. Do you know what I mean? That's how it is.
Contract, Mr. Glitterface.
That's what it is. No longer is on 1K.
Check the fine print. You said you were up for glitter.
Like that, so. We're going to keep it going on because we've still got a lot
to cover. Yeah, because I will fight the industry for 3 hours.
Do you want to go on your Kanye at the Grammys piece that you've got?
Oh my God, yeah. So did we all see?
Yeah,
right, okay.
Yeah.
So so for the listeners.
Who filmed this?
Yeah, for the listeners. So apparently Kanye and his wife Bianca were not invited to the Grammys and they just rocked up at the red carpet.
It's a very Ye thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone was like, fuck it. We've not seen Ye on a red carpet for a long time.
They weren't
going
to turn him away though, were they?
Yeah, yeah. So have we all seen the clip of the moment she drops her coat?
I have not seen said clip.
It's the most bizarre moment.
It does look a bit uncomfortable.
In the world. And I'm like...
Have you seen the lip readers covering it?
So...
Did you put those clips there?
I haven't. I've seen a lot of people analysing just the body language. Mm. But I did want to look... I actually saw the comment of people saying, like, tag me when the lip readers are back. Mm. So I haven't seen that yet. And I'm very intrigued.
Check the lip readers.
Yeah, okay. Because
some of them are chatting worse. Like.
Well, this is it. Because... and. Ironically, today, before we did this, it's almost pulled me back a little bit because Ye's posted an article that was on some like Vogue magazine or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was about like, apparently Bianca did this for some kind of feminine power like stance or whatever. But it doesn't take a genius to see the moment she pulls a cut off and like she looks at him and he's like, he's effectively going. Like, fucking get it off. Yeah, do you know what I mean? And she's like
a handler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fact you have to blur it.
But her face is terrifying. It's uncomfortable to look at before she drops a kex. Yeah, like, her face looks real uncomfortable. And he is like, no, come on, you said you were doing this. Get it off.
It's sad because that's my goat. I remember you said in Violent Crimes, I used to see women as something to conquer. And now I used to see someone as something to conquer.
Yeah, now
now something to nurture. Yeah, what's the bar though?
It's either that or it's the other way around.
It's something like that, but I used to see women like this and now it seems like this and it's mad because you're not.
This is what I mean because I'm like, just as a life lesson, I always try and not to judge on just what you see.
Face value.
Because obviously 90% of the internet are going, oh, well, she looks uncomfortable and we've just painted our whole scene.
Right.
But then like, we don't know. And that's not me defending him.
Yeah.
I don't know because at the end of the day, if then she was like one of the names on this article that had given her 2p on it. And it was supposed to be about a moment of power for women. So if that's what she wanted, then fair play.
Yeah,
you know, and who are we to
say,
tell her? But like, but is that what happened?
Does that say
it didn't
power,
look
though?
Because it didn't
look like.
She didn't
look even like, look like she felt power.
Exactly, it didn't look like that.
She looked powerless.
The message is off.
It looked like Ye going, we're going to show them how women are powerful. Yeah. Drop your fucking pants.
It's
you know
such
what I mean?
An ironic,
so I just don't know.
But that is a Ye thing to do now, isn't it?
It is a Ye thing to do.
And it's sad to see, bro. It is sad to see.
Because then you've got everyone coming out that have known her a whole life and going, oh, she used to be like this sweet little girl and then she met Ye and was like, and has changed. But then it's like, well, fucking, I don't know.
I think the industry got to him, man.
Because
let's look at when he was releasing gospel music.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the 10 minutes of him not swearing.
Yeah,
and being
basically.
Clean.
And then dropping merch.
Yeah.
Gospel merch. Anyone, you know? Yeah. But, and then straight after, then you're working with Playboi Carti.
This I always thought was strange.
Open Satanist.
Because he always said that.
And Marilyn Manson at the performance. Yeah. Let's not forget that.
It is, Mike, because he said right after that, I won't be working with any artists anymore who are under the influence, who are in the Illuminati.
He said he wasn't going to perform any of his songs with Cussie.
The first thing with Donda, and then I was listening to Playboi Carti's very famous ad lib. I was like, oh, this is crazy. Because you could not have got someone, you might as well have had Lil Nas X.
That is the last person
it is.
You should get on.
It is.
The last. The only way it could have gotten worse is Uzi.
Yeah.
If he would have got the trifecta, if he got him,
that
Uzi
been
and
like,
Marilyn Manson.
Yo,
but I agree.
Unholy Trinity, bro. Yeah. Like, honestly. So since that point, I feel like he's lost.
He's in the sunken place.
He's in the sunken place. He's lost tangibility.
Yeah, what's mad is I saw him say the other day on. Have you watched that? It's called like The Download or something.
Yeah.
That long interview that he released.
It's the most coherent I've heard him in a while.
Absolutely.
Though, as well.
And this is again what confuses
he ain't on
me. Opioids. Because when but when you see him in clips and talking to paparazzi, he looks like he's fucking wired. But then when it's in his environment and he's talking, he sounds fine. So the guy messes with my head anyway. But he was talking. Sorry, just turned to the screen.
I know Twitter was easy to say.
Fucking hell. Anyway, and he was talking about the fact that basically he believes he's not bipolar, he's autistic. I mean, fair play.
He believes he's not autistic.
He believes he's not bipolar, he's autistic.
But he said, I love being bipolar, it's awesome.
Exactly. And he was talking in that he said that he kind of like, because I can't remember what he said because I watched the whole thing, but he was basically on the lines of he tried to own the narrative and he regrets it because he put the label on himself. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But like,
so basically,
I mean, of course he's autistic. You know what I mean? Like,
he's a tricky character though.
He is.
Like you remember
a character.
I feel like now because he's trying. He knows he's autistic and he's trying to own his neurodivergence or whatever. I feel like he's off his meds and he's doing whatever he wants, and that is just
creating danger
and chaos.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he's clearly a man that needs to be pulled back sometimes.
And this is the problem though, because when you have that level of influence, let's be honest, celebrities are a bit weird.
We've covered many episodes on it. We've covered many episodes.
He's a pretty good example of that.
He's a great example of this. So it's like, but the problem is when they get to that level, people allow them to do what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, case in point, I watched a short documentary on Travis Scott. Apparently, Travis Scott is an absolute vile of a human being in how he treats other people.
Probably, yeah.
And then it starts tying in when you see these clips of him banging laptops and banging.
That was crazy. That was just weird.
Apparently, that's what he does even in studios, like
with
engineers talking about, you're nothing, fucking re-record this shit. Yeah, like, that's who he is.
Mm.
But he's Travis Scott. Mm. Who's going to tell him no?
Yeah.
They referenced that in Atlanta. That's who it's about. It's, I think, Paperboy and Darius like go to a studio and it's like this rapper's like going in on his sound tech who's having like Logic's crashing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he basically gets his body men to like beat him up and tell everyone else to leave. And that's based on a Travis Scott story at a studio.
Okay, that rings a bell.
I didn't know that. That's not surprising.
Yeah. And it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Because he's still Travis Scott. He's still going to sell records.
Mm.
People are still going to work with him.
Yeah. And well, who's powerful enough to be above that and tell him to the
label,
sort his shit out?
The label don't care. The label are like,
the label going, sweet, any press is good press. Keep going, mate.
Keep it going.
Yeah,
viral
yeah.
clip, put on TikTok.
Mm.
So, yeah, man. It's
a horrible place, the music scene. Horrible place right now.
I'd rather be a poor musician. I just keep
skipping.
That's
what I'm saying, man.
Keep your integrity.
Absolutely, man.
And your family members.
But that, speaking of which, just a very, very quick tangent. Has anyone seen that clip of Elton John that's gone viral?
No,
he's been back in the studio recording an album for the first time in 6 years.
I thought he said he just had his last tour ever.
That his last five tours have been his last tour.
Calm, carry on.
Yeah,
then.
But
Elton John quit like 2000.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, fair.
So, I think that's
go on, describe the
anyway,
clip.
Anyway, the clip. So it is him. It's him in the studio, and he's like, I mean, anyone over our age anyway knows Elton John being a mad ass. And he's just fucking spitting his dummy out everywhere, like picking the headphones up with these fucking irritating things and throwing them on the floor, and he's shouting at everyone and just being
Why would he want to post that?
And he didn't post it. It like got leaked or whatever, and then he's come out today going, oh, I was like really overwhelmed and stressed. But to be fair, I noticed this guy that was in the background then in the long white t-shirt, there you go, that's him throwing the headphones. He actually goes, Elton, I'm trying to help, chill out. And I was like, fair play, because this man is like, Elton John is
a legend.
Yeah, he's as big as it gets. To talk back to him in the studio, but if someone was, you've got to watch this clip after, basically.
I'll watch it.
It's insane.
If you're a man who's in your late,
I'm done. Ripped up all of his lyrics and threw it and said, I'm going now.
If you're a white man in your late 60s, you're wearing a 2-piece Gucci tracksuit.
60s.
This is the kind of
talk about this, bro.
This is the kind of
going on
thing
you'd
expect.
Bro, he's older than that. You're being generous. I think he's late 70s.
That is a DJ Khaled fit. And it's because it's DJ Khaled, you go fair.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not Elton John.
Shout out to
77,
see? Yo, keeps dying.
Would you see McCartney wearing a Nike tracksuit, a tech fleece tracksuit? No, why?
Sorry, the image of Paul McCartney in a tech fleece with Central C dabbing
him
up.
That's what I mean.
He's dressed like he's be on Cheatham Hill. Like,
it does.
Look at the watch and all.
Bloody hell. Right, let's keep
it was
going.
Just super embarrassing to watch anyway. But we're talking about like
go
not
on.
Pulling up on artists.
I felt like
the producer in the room was like, look, you might be Elton John, but like
but
no one's going to fucking listen to this album. So maybe chill out a little bit.
77.
Yeah, man.
Nah, that's died, bro.
That's a hairpiece. Anyway,
go on,
keep
Liam.
It moving on. Some of us as well for every artist that's come on is to give us their Mount Rushmore of artists. So that's four names that are on that stone hill for you.
Yeah.
Who are said four names?
Rescue you a little bit before as well, and you were saying you'd rather do artists.
This is
your moment.
Number one.
Go.
Michael Jackson.
Yes, 100%.
King of pop.
We love it. Big fans of Michael over here.
100%.
We love it.
I'll defend him till the day I die.
Yeah, I have to agree,
love
man.
It.
Michael's innocent.
The dude made people faint, just stood there. Like,
his
we will never see
there's never a character
at that level.
No,
Harry Styles
never
could never.
No one could ever.
No one can ever. And Drake thought he could. Like,
so imagine teaching in schools these days and being in my shoes now and talking to people. And Michael Jackson, who?
Literally.
But,
if they don't
I mean,
that,
I'm talking about 12-year-olds. Taylor Swift, who? Do you know what I mean? I'm not even into Taylor Swift.
Mm.
I don't even like Taylor Swift. But there's like, if it's over 3 years ago, it didn't exist to these kids. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Michael Jackson's
Michael Jackson.
I've done a lot defending Michael Jackson recently.
Number two. I'm going to put Kanye on there.
Love it. Are you sure?
I'll put Kanye over Drake because no Kanye, there's no Drake.
Absolutely.
No Kanye, no.
So,
this is my Mount Rushmore so far.
Yeah.
Michael and yay. Who else?
Number three, I'm going to step outside of people who made music, but I'm going to go a producer.
Oh, I like it.
Timberland.
Yeah, I like
fair play,
it.
Man.
Timberland, like it. Because
Timberland's responsible for so much.
So many yeah, yeah. sounds, yeah, yeah. so many hits. Just we wouldn't have Justin Timberlake as yeah. we know no, him today without not. Timberland. No. And yeah. he's a legend in his own right.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Timberland and the Neptunes just dominated the charts yeah, for like 3 yeah, yeah. years, didn't they? Yeah.
So definitely like Timberland. It. Number 4.
To close it out, it's your last pick.
So I've got the past, I've got the present.
I like that.
And what's, I've got a producer.
What, you're chugging in the future? You...
Nah, I wouldn't. Imagine future on there.
Not future. Although I love future on it.
The future.
Sensational.
You got three Americans.
Yeah, three Americans. Ooh.
You have three black guys.
Ooh, that's a good point. Can you put groups?
You can put a group in
yeah,
there.
Go on.
You can put a group
Beatles.
In there. Really?
Oh, sick. I'm gonna put the Beatles.
That's a really nice.
Because
nice,
I four. Feel like the Beatles inspired generate. Like, I've been inspired by the Beatles even in songs. And they came out, what, 60s?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So.
They were touring Germany in the 50s. Insane.
So for me, I'm gonna say Beatles for sure. And just because, I mean, to come from all the way to England to.
You got to think no internet as well.
No internet.
You're the biggest band ever. No internet. You're on word of mouth, newspapers, and a TV that most people don't have in their home.
They led an era that we call the British Invasion for a reason.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
When
like
all the rock bands
yeah,
were taking
they
over.
Took over the whole of America.
Mad.
Without the internet.
Then yeah. why is it that now that's not so much the case?
Because it's oversaturated as well.
Yeah, good point.
Back then, the you know, say the cream rises to the top. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were going to make it, you had to be the best. I would say someone like Anderson .Paak was always going to be famous because he's disgustingly talented and just has a look and an image of, he's got Magic Johnson's smile, but he plays drums like that and sings like that and writes music like that. Do you know what I mean? But back then you had to be the best of the best. There was no Lil Pumps. There was no Tekashi 6ix9ine. Yeah, everyone that's in the charts it. Were people who were the best at their field. Do you know what I mean? There was some for everyone.
Yeah.
Now, who's in the charts now that we would actually really go, that's a generational talent. Do you know what I mean?
That songs be going number one and you're like, I've never even heard this song.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. So I've started to put songs in my set at gigs, just like function gigs, that kids have told me about at school, and that's how I feel old now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That
like,
and
that Stick Season tune that I don't know if you've heard it.
No.
You will have heard it, I'm sure you have.
That's the point though, what you say.
But exactly, yeah. And I go in and play it at a bar and fucking everyone knows it and I'm like.
Do you see that there's that Benson Boone? Playing the Grammys.
Yeah, who the fuck is this guy?
He's got 40 million monthly listeners. I couldn't tell you one song of him, and I don't know who that is. Who is this guy?
Oh, the dude who did the flip in the blue.
Yeah, he did.
Don't know who that is.
Everyone's obsessed with
massive,
I've never
but,
heard of him.
Like, I'm thinking, am I really out of the culture? But I didn't think I was. But
I think algorithms have segmented us so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, man. This is the Sabrina Carpenter side of TikTok.
Is that what it is? Billie Eilish and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
If you're not on that side of the...
If you grew up watching Camp Rock and High School Musical, yeah, you like this guy.
Or Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, man.
Kind of looks like what... is it like what Daphne or Velma wore in the Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Yeah, the flare trousers.
Yeah, it does look a bit like a blue condom.
He does.
What am like, who are you?
Loved it, though.
Oh, Matt.
Fuck me.
Yeah, that was
Papa Smurf. Johnny
yeah, that's pretty.
He looks like Aaron Taylor Johnson, doesn't he?
Yeah, I see that.
You can tell the inspiration from Freddie Mercury. If yeah,
that's crazy.
Can you
that was
pull
fair.
That clip back?
I know.
Bit.
I haven't
that
heard that song,
insane.
And I just
sorry.
Know,
we're watching Benson Boone do backflips and being
right
very
there,
obsessed.
Right there. If you see his body movements,
yeah, that was Freddie. That one,
that's a Freddie.
If he had the like, just the end of a mic stand in his hand,
cold the little flip. Yeah,
yeah. Dale.
Imagine he just. Licks both of his ankles off the ground
that's
doing that.
Insane. That just hurt my bad
that's
knee
clean.
Looking at that.
I haven't heard the song, but there's no
my
reason
ACL
for that song to
again.
Be doing that. There's no part of that song that needs that flip.
I know his music does.
It doesn't need it. I just know it.
Yeah, what you don't know, he's actually covering Fiend by Playboi Carti.
Yeah. Well, that would be a good fit.
Yeah. That's why he's doing backflips.
Anyway, right, should we move it on?
Yes.
For this year, what's up next for you? What are the plans for this year? Have you got something coming out?
Yes, I've got a song dropping this month. Rotate, first song
Bosh.
In like
exclusive
8 months, which has been performed exclusively on Feel Weird.
Yeah,
so,
man,
I'm excited for that one. I've got a lot planned this year. I think these last 2 years has been me rediscovering myself. I've got a couple of shows planned this year, headline shows as well. Last headline show was 2022.
So it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
You've been itching
man.
To get back
yeah,
on stage.
Man. Yeah, man. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been on stages, but it's always like low-key stuff.
Okay.
And I don't know about you, but like when it's work stuff, it feels like a different hat, doesn't it? Like
it's a different you. It's different to when you've curated this baby.
It's
to
your,
be like, yeah,
your soul out there.
This is the experience type of thing. So now I'm excited, man. And it seems like I don't know. I feel like these 2 years I've been building my brand, and now there's a lot more people who've got eyes on me. So it's like now when I'm coming back out with this, I'd like to say more developed product that is more refined. I'm just so excited, man.
Cool.
I'm just so excited. Like, yeah, so definitely shows, listening parties, and who knows what else? Because we're in January and I've already got so much lined up already that fell into my lap. So, yeah.
Love it.
Great.
A lot can happen in a year, bro.
A lot can happen.
It's going to be good things.
And we'll, like we said, we'll have you on next time when the video game's out and we'll recap on everything, however long that'll be.
Like a time
a little,
capsule.
A little time jump to see where we're up to. But I think that's us. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's been amazing.
It's been a
joy. About time.
Check out Feel Weird Studios, yo.
Follow us on all platforms. His stuff will be in the bio. So check him out.
Honestly. But yeah.
Absolutely. And I also wanted to say before we round out, we hit over 1,000 followers now.
Jeez! On Instagram, well done.
It's about damn time. Thank you everybody for the support. We've had some mad support recently.
Yeah.
And we have some very big announcements to come.
Very big announcements.
Don't we?
We certainly do.
So we'll keep your eyes peeled for that. And hopefully I'm over here is going to come back for that. He doesn't even know it yet.
Well, shout out Splinter as well.
Yeah, big man.
Shout out Splinter in the back.
Exactly. Splinter looks so sick over there. He's got a desk now, double laptop
set. Yeah, we've upgraded. Being on the corner of the sofa.
Exactly.
You are the man in the chair now.
Absolutely. He's our tech guy.
I like to think of like Ned from like the most recent Spider-Man, like spinning the chair.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2 though, the game one. Yeah. Where he's got mechs and robots going out.
That's on my list. I got PS5 Christmas. I'm playing that soon.
So jealous.
Anyway, beautiful stuff, everybody. Thanks for another great episode. See you later.